Better Be Lies. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls in a minute here. Are you starting to lose faith in Rob Thompson? I am. And not because I think the guy's a bad manager. I think that he's not getting the most out of these players right now. And it feels to me like the players are starting to tune him out. Where do you come down on top or frustration with the series? The Phillies score, to give up only 5 runs in 3 games and to lose all 3 is ridiculous. It was a ridiculous series by the Phillies.
Yeah. Yeah, when you talk about the type of pitching that you got, man, and to only manufacture one run, that's a tough one. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, it's ugly. I mean, it was ugly. They got to fix this offense here. And let's listen to Dave Dombrowski. He was on the Starkville podcast with Jason Stark this week. And we're going to play a couple cuts here for you. I hope one of them is a flat-out lie. Actually, I hope both are lies. But let's see how we react to these. So, first, about Bryce Harper and the idea of when he comes back, which could be as early as Monday, if he could move to a different position, maybe back to the outfield to help Dombrowski, facilitate getting a different kind of bat in here. Here is what Dave said about that when asked.
Well, Bryce has said that. Bryce will be willing to do whatever needs to be done, and that's one of the many things that are great about him. I would really prefer not to do that. I think part of it, he's turned into a very good first baseman. For whatever reason, people discount defense when they're talking about these things. So with these moves, so you could go get let's just say you wanted to get a right-handed bat. I could go get a right-handed bat and put him in left field. But he might not catch the ball. You do need the combination of that. So Bryce adds a lot for us at first base right now. And so, again, I don't want to ever say never, but I would say it's not likely.
Oh. All right, so there's a lot to unpack there. I understand the idea it's probably unlikely. And Hugh, what I never can tell when it comes to these kind of, when a GM speaks before a trade deadline, is he being honest with us or is he posturing because he knows if he goes out there and says, we absolutely would move Bryce back to the outfield. I'll go get a first base. If he says that, the whole league knows this is my, he can't give away his leverage. So I always take it with a grain of salt, but he seems very dismissive about get another bat, whatever.
Well, you don't want to give out too much because you always want to try to operate from a position of power.
Right.
And you never want somebody to know what you're potentially thinking. So that's probably the reason why he's kind of cavalier. When he talks the way that he talks, you can't say too much because even when you talk about the players and say Kyle Schwarber, for example, you don't want to say it like you want him to stay, even though you might, because then you're not operating from a position of power. He has all the leverage because you know you want him to stay. So then he's going to ask for the moon and the stars.
Well, he is. And I understand not giving away your full strategy. It's just the Phillies moved Bryce to first base and he's been a good first baseman. But their corner outfields has been terrible since they lost Bryce Harper in the outfield. We try this every year. It became with Merrifield, Max Kepler. They can't figure out that other outfield spot. If Bryce is willing to go back, I would absolutely let him do it. If they could get a first baseman that can hit, or even, if they move Bryce back to the outfield, Kyle, they could put Bohm at third and Bohm at first and get a third baseman. It just gives them more options to find a bat.
I totally agree. And it looks like no matter where Bryce Harper plays on the field, he's still getting banged up.
Right. It's not like first base has saved his body.
Right. So I don't know. I'm with you. I totally hope that he's lying. I just don't know if there's going to be, what's a first baseman out there that's available that makes you feel good about moving Bryce to the outfield?
Right. Option seems to be less likely because the Brewers are in
it
the race.
It feels like there are more outfielders available out there than first baseman.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about the outfield, though, because he was asked about, what would be the main focus for you guys at the trade deadline. And again, he better be lying on this, because although we all want them to get another reliever, it's pretty clear the bat has become a major issue here, or at least another bat. Here is Dombrowski on what will be their focus at the deadline.
Well, I think it's logical to assume the bullpen part of it because when you look at your club, it's not going to be starting pitching. So it's not going to be that. Our lineup when we're like we are right now. And again, I haven't been against giving young players the opportunity to fit in into the right situation with an Otto Kemp being a right-handed bat. There have been 2 trade deadlines where we advanced and we ended up adding Rafael Devers and Andrew Benintendi when I was with Boston, and they did great for us the last couple months of the season. So you can add from your own system in that regard, and you compare it to who else may be available. So that really leaves the back end of the bullpen really much more so than anything else as you're Now, again, you analyze what's going on all the time and you see what's taking place. But I would say first and foremost, that would be our main focus.
All right, so he brought something up there. He brought up his time in Boston. I mean, look, can we be real? Otto Kemp is not Rafael Devers. I mean, like, you know, I like Otto Kemp, but that's the answer. It also made me wonder if Justin Crawford is going to get called up here because he mentioned bringing up from the system and that being the answer. Maybe it is, but whatever the answer is, it's not Max Kepler in the outfield every day. 215-592-9494. Hugh, do you think he's lying? Do you think they're going to acquire a real bat? Because every time he talks about it, he seems to not think they need one, and I'm watching the lineup get shut down every other game. Do you buy what he's saying?
No, I heard you, Joe. Yeah. I'm thinking because
long thinking here.
Well, yeah, I'm long thinking.
That's great.
Because
we're not on the radio or anything.
No, but what I'm thinking about is some of the things that he said over the last couple of days, and some of the reports that have been coming out, and they said that they're a team that they believe that they're a World Series contender, and they were going to push all in at the trade deadline.
Yeah, there's like one. There's that's what one side of the story. And then he talks, and it's like, yeah, we're good.
And again, you're operating from a position of power, but you can't. I don't think that anybody with common sense would look at this lineup, especially this small sampling size that we've had, and feel comfortable where this hitting is.
So you said obviously small sample size this week, but it's we're halfway through the season now, right?
Yeah.
They're 81 games in. They rank 16th in home runs, and that's with Schwarber having 24. They don't hit home runs.
Yeah. So the problem I think we're running into here is because I think Dave's he's an old school baseball guy. He's a big picture guy. Him and Topper both back of the baseball card type guys. The Phillies are eighth in the majors in runs scored. Like, I just worry that Dave Dombrowski's looking at that. Like, sort of, remember at the end of the playoffs how he's like, well, we weren't the worst Chase team. Like, is he looking at it from the lens of, like, this is where we stack up amongst the majors and it's not that big of an issue? The best possible thing, though, to come out of that was that I believe that podcast was recorded before this Astros series.
It was.
So maybe that was a little bit of a shock to the system.
Here's what I need out of Dave. A sense of urgency over the next month. Because the last 2 years have been, I mean, let's just patch it together, right? Let's just get a guy, let's get an Austin Hayes. That's not going to cut it this year. They need a better bat. 215-592-9494. All right, back to the phone lines here. Your reaction to the Phillies getting swept in Houston. They score one run in the three-game series. And Rob Thompson, is he starting to lose you? Because it's my feeling he's starting to lose this clubhouse. Last week it was Castellanos. This week, Max Kepler. And if you missed it earlier, just let's kind of reset what Max Kepler said. So Max Kepler, who we know was signed to a one-year, $10 million deal, has not done much here with the Phillies. He is hitting .209. After the game yesterday, he was asked about his playing time. And he said, quote, "The biggest challenge for me is not playing routinely." Kepler said after Thursday's loss, "That's the biggest challenge." And then he was asked, was he under the impression he would? And his response, yeah, he said, "I was told I was going to be the starting left fielder." So that is now Castellanos last week with the whole Topper thing about pulling him out of the game. And now this one with Kepler. And it's troubling for me. David in Westchester. What's up, David?
David.
Here, Keith. Come here, Keith. Come here. Come here, Keith. Go ahead, y'all. I've been trying to catch
Dave,
Keith all morning.
Dave, that's not funny.
It's kind of funny.
Yes, it is. No, it's funny, Hugh. It's
listeners funny. Having your keys and hiding Dave, them from you is hilarious.
Dave, that's not funny. That's not
here, let's do it again. Ready? Your keys. Come here, Keith. Come here.
I hate you, Dave. Hey, that is the absolute worst feeling in the world.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough one.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, and I'm looking underneath the car. I'm like, did I drop him under the car?
We know who has him. Skip has your keys. It's obvious. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Hugh, if you pay Herb to drive you, I'll put the bill tonight.
No. You want to play with me?
Dave, I'm lucky my daughter's here, and, and she can drive. She drives like Dale Earnhardt Jr., but she can drive. So, I mean, I got to work, and she's coming to get me. So, I'm good.
I'd still rather see you have Herb.
No, not at all.
So, on to these freaking Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
What a waste of a series, but this was a prelude of your first playoff series. This is exactly what's going to happen to them. They're going to have this great pitching that they have. I mean, I'll give Dombrowski his props. He put this rotation together by accident, but he put it together. So he definitely gets credit. I mean, this rotation is just, imagine Aaron Nola coming back and being your number five.
I know, and David, he would be. I mean, because the top four are obviously all better than him. If he could come back and be kind of just even a normal Nola, it's one of the best five starters you could ever imagine.
Exactly. I mean, it's you know, you sit there and like, oh my God, look at this. But then they're wasting it with this team that just doesn't, I don't know what their problem is, but if they're not listening to the manager, then you need to blow a couple pieces up. And this here would be my solution. I would, as you said, Joe, when you said DFA Kepler, I was like, ding, 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 ding. Get him out of here. He's not doing anything. Bring Crawford up. Give him left field. They're like, hey, buddy, it's yours. You know, no pressure. Don't worry about it. You can't do any worse than what's being done. I would also bring up Aiden Miller and platoon him with Stott, because then you got your right, left, you know, all that good stuff, and you can do that. And, you know, I would never let – I'd play Marsh 24/7, let him live or die, and I would never let Johan Rojas see the field again. So,
well, that would upset Hugh, because Hugh's, you know, Hugh's ride or die for Rojas and has been for years.
I was there. Remember last year, I was learning Spanish to talk to Rojas. So
yeah,
how much you
believe in Rojas him. People are crazy. Yeah. This guy can't hit.
No,
the game finds him. He needs to do
just
better.
Just like let him run. Like go run. Run like the wind, bullseye. You know, like on. You know, just let him run. And that's it.
Well, he's got to hit. You got to hit before you run. All right, David, what do you got for us? A snack we could bring to Broads' Puck It Up party tonight.
Okay, because nobody wants to be there, I'm sure.
Everyone wants to be at the Puck It Up party.
I mean, that's what I meant, Joe. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, I would do, like, remember Men at Work song from Down Under, Vegemite
sandwich? Vegemite sandwich.
Don't bring that. They're disgusting.
David, that's
a big deal in Australia.
It's gross.
We're not in
You've
Australia.
Had one?
I've had Vegemite, not Vegemite sandwich. After I've tried it, I would never think to even put it even close to my mouth again.
You're like, you're having a party and someone brings Vegemite. You're not inviting that person.
I've never had a Vegemite sandwich.
You don't want one.
I would bring. I told you what I was bringing to the party.
Yes, the orange gummies.
Yeah, you're gonna poison children.
Okay, well, I'll bring some flowers.
Flowers? Huh? To a hockey draft party? What's wrong with you?
Guilty!
I didn't say what kind of flowers I was bringing.
Okay. Well, that makes a little more sense. All right. So we have next Dennis in Claymont, and he thinks he can help you, another neighbor of yours.
It's
potentially.
Claymont.
Dennis, what's up, man?
This is not good.
How you guys doing today?
What's up,
Dennis?
Dennis,
we're good. What's up?
Hugh, listen. I live in Claymont. I've seen you a couple times over there at the grocery store around from me. There was a post on our Facebook page that somebody left their keys in a mailbox.
Hugh, that's
Stop
you.
Playing.
I'm dead serious. I can give you the name of the street. I don't want to give too much information
Bro.
Away.
You know what? So, Dennis, before you go on.
You know what? Chanel's listening.
Off air, you could give it to Kyle after the call, the street name, and then we'll figure out if it's the right thing. I don't want to put the street name on the air. But this sounds legit, Hugh.
No, because Chanel, like, she listened to the show, and she said, Hugh, you probably left your keys in the mailbox. I went to the mailbox. And I remember, because the boxes, like you open the mailbox key, and you have to, they give you a key
That's
to open
that,
the
I
other
mean, this
mailbox.
This is obvious where they are. They're in the mailbox.
Bro.
This guy's unbelievable, Dennis. Yeah,
look, you might want to thank me, too, for putting this call through. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle gets some credit. Dennis gets a lot of credit. The Facebook
You're
group.
You're welcome, Hugh.
Feel really old right
yeah,
now.
Oh, yeah, this is a senior moment.
But in my defense, I had a lot going on.
You're in trouble.
What are you talking about? You had a lot going on.
I had like 50 boxes, and it was hot. And I was already
50 boxes for
it. Was hot.
What are you doing with 50 boxes? All right, Dennis.
50 boxes.
Dennis, what are you thinking on topper?
My thing is this: it's sort of giving me Andy Reid vibes about the end of his tenure with the Eagles. That the answers that we're getting from him post game press conferences. After Rojas, you know, was not pinch hit for the other night, you know, I don't know. It's starting to give me Andy Reid vibes, and I'm not sure if he's lost the clubhouse. It's just I don't like the answers we're getting from him right now. And Dave Dombrowski puts the lineup out there and you know, puts the players out there for him to add into the lineup, but I just think I'm not liking what I'm hearing from Topper right now.
Well, Dennis, I'm not either. And it feels to me like there's a lot of, like, you shrug your shoulders kind of stuff from Topper. Like, what are you going to do? And, Dennis, I never thought he was like Tony La Russa in the dugout. I never thought he's the best strategist. But at least I thought the players believed in him. And now I'm starting to sense maybe they don't. I mean, that Castellanos thing last week was totally out of character for this team under him. And now you got Max Kepler mouthing off about his playing time. It's not a good look right now for them.
Totally agree. It's you know, and that's the whole, what I said prior, is just the vibes of Andy Reid. And, you know, hopefully he doesn't lose the team. Hopefully getting Harper back on Monday, I don't know if that's the Band-Aid for everything, but we need to do something. I mean, there needs to be a bat added. There needs to be, you know, somebody, if it's Kepler playing consistently, somebody just needs to be in there. I'm sick of hearing the platoon thing, and Marsh comes up the other night and gets two base hits off a lefty the day after they didn't substitute or pinch hit for Rojas.
I know, that which was telling there. All right, Dennis, what do you got for us? What's a good snack we should bring to Broja's draft party tonight?
I think that the best snack to bring to any party, and it goes first, and there's always not enough, is buffalo chicken dip.
Buffalo chicken dip is very popular.
The dip?
The dip. And then, you know, you could choose the chips or the bread to dip in. Are you anti-buffalo chicken dip?
I mean, I've never had it.
Never had it?
I don't think I've had buffalo chicken
dip. Oh, we got to change that. All right, Dennis, we're going to put you on hold. You can tell Kyle the details to help you out, and we appreciate your phone call. Hugh,
I left them in the mailbox.
I think you left them in the mailbox.
I think I did.
I mean,
as a matter of fact, I was just told, check your mailbox.
What are the odds? What are the odds that you went to the mailbox yesterday? You haven't seen your keys really since then. Someone in your town found keys in the mailbox and they're not yours. Feels unlikely to me.
Yeah, that feels very unlikely. But yeah. I'll tell you what it did, because I remember, because this morning when I got up, I thought about that and I said, because you have to, like, when you open the mailbox,
you need your key.
You need the key, but it was another key in the mailbox so that I could get in the smaller box, the bigger box.
Right.
So I grabbed the two boxes and I had a lot of stuff in my hands.
You put the
That's probably what I did.
How about this? You know, we thought Skip was the only neighbor that wanted to help you out. Apparently more do.
I gotta
You're a very popular guy.
I guess I gotta start speaking more. I feel kind of bad now that I'm anti-social.
Yeah, you have to be more socially neighborhood. Block Party Douglas is gonna be out this summer now. After all this. All right, 215-592-9494. You know, our last caller, along with Helping Hugh, he did mention a couple things about this week with Topper. So let's go through them, because again, I was always a Topper guy, but he's starting to lose me here. I don't think I'm the only one he's starting to lose. Let's hear Topper on Monday night, I guess it was Monday night, after the Rojas at-bat, the decision, leaving him in, and then the reaction afterwards. Here's Topper after the Rojas situation a couple nights ago.
Rojas gets up 2-0 on the count against Hader there. Would you like to see him take a pitch? You know, especially since I've been out of the zone.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it was a strike, so you might as well waffle on it. You're not going to get too many good pitches to hit.
And I know what's left on left, but lefties have actually got Hader a little bit this year. Like, do you consider it all shooting a lefty there?
No.
Yeah, just a verbal shrug of the shoulders a couple nights ago from Topper when it came to the whole Rojas thing, which everyone was like, what are we doing? We're letting Rojas hit in that at-bat. And then yesterday, and Kyle heard this yesterday and said, this sounds like our old manager here, Gabe Kapler. Listen to Rob Kapler yesterday just basically saying, yeah, listen, they're trying too hard. They want to win too much. Here is I almost called him Kapler again. Here's Rob Thompson after the game yesterday.
Yeah, I'm trying to make too much out of three games. Do you see any deeper trends with how your offense has performed that maybe stick out to you as concerning? Or
it's the old thing that I talk about all the time, trying to do too much. That's the thing that, you know, concerns me the most, and that's just because they care.
An emotional warrior.
Just because they care too much. That's all, just because they care too much.
There's some truth to that. I know you don't want to hear that.
I don't.
But
I want production, Hugh.
Will you allow me to try to explain it to you?
The guy who left his keys in the mailbox. This is who I'm taking advice from.
I don't have a leg to stand on right now. But in my defense, I'm not the first person to do that. It's just that for the purposes of this show, y'all gonna call me Pop Pop, and it's just gonna make it worse.
Well, no, listen. Everyone has misplaced their keys. You're just one of the few.
But I'm not the first one to leave it in the mailbox. Everybody,
no, but this has become public now. Yeah. So you got the whole town of Claymont trying to help you out.
I appreciate that.
It feels like we may have had a breakthrough.
Yeah.
I think we have located Hugh's keys, which is insane.
But,
dude,
I was
find
right,
the Facebook group that was talking about this.
But
right. You're at the 2-minute warning, dude.
I'm about to go in over.
Yeah, I imagine in the Facebook group this morning, someone was like, wait, those keys you guys were talking about last night. I hear Hugh on the radio saying he lost his keys. There he is.
What an idiot. Like, what an idiot.
They didn't want that guy to move in the neighborhood anyway.
Definitely. But there's a lot of times where I remember being on the field and there would be maybe an eight-play drive. Don't laugh, Joe. I'm about to give you a good analogy here.
Oh, go ahead. Go.
And somebody says, oh, somebody has to make a play. Somebody has to step up and do something. It's kind of the same thing in baseball, but the unfortunate thing is it's an at-bat, and you're there by yourself.
Yeah.
So they're swinging out of their shoes, trying to be the guy to get it going instead of having the mindset, okay, maybe if I just get on base, maybe the guy behind me. Like it feels like instead of depending on your teammate to move you over, they're trying to be the hero.
Hero ball, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to be the hero.
So I understand it, and I understand you understanding it. But here's my thing. I don't want to hear it from the manager. I don't want to hear from Rob Thompson. They're trying too hard. That's not making me feel any better.
But that's what it is, though, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, in a situation like that, what are you supposed to say? Because a lot of times as fans, we question whether or not players care. They do care, but their mentality is instead of, okay, like a link in a chain,
mm-hmm.
their mentality is more like, I'm going to be the conquering hero. I'm going to ride in on the white steed, and I'm going to save everybody. It feels like it's more of that than, okay, let's – okay, I got to trust the guy behind me. Almost like NASCAR, because, you know, we're in NASCAR season. And
you're a NASCAR guy.
Yeah, I'm a big NASCAR guy. And how drivers have to drive knowing that, especially when they're tightly grouped together, knowing that the driver in the next car knows exactly what to do
right.
so that nobody crashes. It's the same thing.
Well, unfortunately, they crashed throughout Houston for the entire week. I mean, unfortunately,
didn't
work.
Like, played music like they won the World Series. Like, they were really excited about the
sweep. Well, I mean, they shut
them
down.
Sweep. Yeah. It's a hell of a pitch.
Of course it was. Of course it was. They won. They should. They probably feel like they stole something. They won three games. They didn't score. Like,
but
they're
while
a really
we're here,
good team, man.
Of course they are.
It's crazy, too, without Bregman.
I was bullied yesterday, too.
Tucker gone, too.
Alvarez has been out, like, the whole year.
Y'all bullied me, too.
Bullied you?
What? Y'all bullied me.
Hold on. I helped you. I just helped you find your keys.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You get a pass. You get a pass for that. Thank you, Claymont, for helping me.
The whole town.
The whole town. Some idiot left his keys.
I'm telling you, I want to find the Facebook post. I want to find like the conversation they were having.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, they're cooking it.
Yeah, I'm sure. No. You people are getting
it? You people are going to cook me today.
Yeah.
I deserve that.
Yeah, you do. All right, 215-592-9494. Is Topper starting to lose you? He's starting to lose me. He's not there for Kyle or Hugh yet, but Topper's starting to lose because I feel with the Kepler stuff, the Castellanos stuff, the in-game stuff with Rojas a couple nights ago, I feel like he's starting to lose this baseball team. Where do you come down to the Phillies? Swept by the Astros. 12 o'clock today, we'll have Scott Fransky on for a Fransky Friday. At 1 o'clock, we'll have Broads on. We're going to puck it up with him. His draft party is tonight. We're looking for, on a tri-day Friday, a snack to bring to Broads' draft party. And we'll get to the Sixers coming up. A major bullet dodged by them in this draft. And we may have a new Sixers authority at this station.
Yeah, that's me.
To talk about next, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Winning on the field starts with how you recover off the field, and nobody helps you bounce back like my team at the Mattress Warehouse. The mattresses are so good, I slept so good that I left my car keys in the mailbox. That's what we're dealing with, people. But you can celebrate the 4th of July with big savings at the Mattress Warehouse, up to $1,200 warehouse-wide. You can save up to $500 on Tempur-Pedic's best-selling Breeze mattress, designed to feel up to 10 degrees cooler all night, every night. Plus, get $300 in free accessories with your purchase. And you can score a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. Do what I did, everybody. Come in today and sleep better tonight during the Mattress Warehouse 4th of July sale. Shop their entire selection and find a location nearest you at mattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.
Is this Sixers changes or Hugh Douglas changes? We'll figure it out.
You know what the sad part about this is, man?
A lot of sad parts, yeah.
I wasn't even high. I wasn't high. I hadn't been drinking. I just went home and went to sleep. But guess what's going to happen today? Are we getting high today?
That's why you got the orange gummies for the draft party. All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jenner. All right, coming up at 12, we'll talk to the voice of the Phillies, Scott Fransky, for a Fransky Friday. I heard through the grapevine Scott was wondering if I was going to be freaking out today. I don't think I'm.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm much freaking out as I am. I'm upset and I want
to. He asked me if you were going to be jumping off a bridge.
Yeah, well, then the answer is
I'm pretty sure
yes.
he don't want to talk to us, though.
Well, it's not Scott's fault that they're not scoring.
But he's a stand-up guy. Yeah. You know, it's like he's always been a stand-up guy, but he's just like, oh, these slappies right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are they going to be talking about?
I got to talk to those slappies at 12. Listen, it's not Scott's fault, but he's got to answer the questions about the Phils. He'll join us coming up at 12. At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Broads, Hunter Brody, about the Puck It Up draft party tonight.
He's pretty excited about this.
Oh, Broads is off the walls. Yeah, he's got to give us his. I want from Broads. I know he gave out some of his names a couple days ago with the afternoon show. I want the guy, though. Like, who's the guy they got to come out of the draft with tonight? We'll talk to Broads coming up. Try Day Friday. What snacks we bring to Broads' draft party tonight? Hugh now has his keys, so he can get there. All right, a lot to talk about. First, before we go back to the phone lines of the Phillies, and is Topper starting to lose you here as the manager of this team? Let's talk about the Sixers. So last night they draft another, I would call, winning player, non-loser, Johnny Broome out of Auburn, who was the SEC Player of the Year, one of the best players of college basketball. Now, we could probably be real about him. He's not a super athlete. There's a reason he fell to the second round. I'm not expecting him to become a superstar, but I do like the philosophy here, which is they're drafting winners. They're drafting non-losers. They're drafting guys that play like dogs instead of guys that dog it on the court. Hugh, I really feel, I know yesterday you were concerned about the presence still of Embiid and the presence of Paul George. Hugh, I feel like the Sixers are changing their culture right in front of our eyes. Are you buying it?
Nah.
Let's see, I knew it.
No, because I would love for these young guys to develop. I really would. But I don't think that they're going to be allowed to, especially when you talk about B.J. Edgecombe and his on the offensive side of it. Because I feel like we're still going to try, when Joel Embiid is out there, we're going to try to run the offense through Joel Embiid. They're not going to allow these young guys to take over because of, you know, for a bunch of different reasons. Number one is the money thing. The money thing, you know, Joel Embiid's making a ton of money. And if he comes out there and you know, he looks like he's healthy, then what else are you going to do? We've seen this team and how it looks when the offense runs through him. Granted, he gets hurt, but we've seen that. So that's what they're going to do. So it's going to probably stunt his growth. He's here to be help on the defensive end in the short term.
Well, and he will be in the short term. You know what I think Hugh forgot about yesterday? The weenie scale we tried to explain to you.
The weenie scale.
The scale is tipping. They got more winners, winning kind of players here than losing kind of players now, or at least they're trying to, right, with McCain and Maxey and Edgecombe. I like all of them, and I think they're all going to help change the culture here. And then you bring this kid in. Again, I'm not going over the top at a second-round pick. I mean, it's a small chance he becomes something significant. Sometimes they do. I mean, sometimes second-round picks become big players in the NBA. But this guy was a winning player. By the way, he was near the top of Jolly's big board. Is Jolly now the number one basketball guy at WIP? Is that what's going on here? He might be. I mean, he loved this guy.
That gets me turned on.
Yeah, well, I didn't need to hear that, but I did. So, look, they got Johnny Broome last night. I like that pick. The other thing that is huge from this week is that they avoided Ace Bailey. Have you seen the latest on the Ace Bailey stuff?
I can imagine. I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's going
but
from
bad to
worse.
But he didn't want to go there. Like, he said he didn't want to be in Utah. So what is he doing now?
Well, let's hear from Ace Bailey, as it sounds like a holdout is possible in Utah where he did not want to go.
Ace, there was a lot of speculation that built up in your draft process. You know, you seem pretty happy to me to be going to Utah. What do you say to people that maybe just don't believe that?
I mean, I control what I control, so how they feel. But to my team and me, me focusing on the basketball and them doing what they're doing, so it happens.
What? All right, well, how about this? Yeah, ready? Yeah. That, you know, that sounds like word salad because he doesn't want to say he's not showing up.
That's the new coin phrase,
yes.
Word salad.
Are you ready for this? Ace Bailey. So they had another first-round pick, okay? And they were supposed to fly together to Utah.
He
didn't make that trip, okay? If he doesn't show up, Bailey could be holding out from the team. Let's hear Brian Windhorst this morning, ESPN, on the Bailey situation. It certainly sounds like we could be having a draft pick holdout out in Utah of a guy that a lot of people wanted here in Philadelphia.
If he doesn't want to be there and he doesn't show up and this starts to get ugly, do you see the Jazz ultimately giving in?
I do not. I do not think any team in this situation would give in. They have the ultimate position, and I do not see Danny Ainge giving in. And here's the bottom line. The Utah Jazz play in Salt Lake City, and I say this as somebody who lives in the middle of the country. They cannot worry about whether a player wants to be in Salt Lake City or whether he loves the fit on their roster. They have to draft and develop the most talented players they can. That is why they took him, despite him not working out, and they will absolutely not budge on this. And eventually, Ace Bailey is going to be a Utah Jazz. We'll just see how long it takes for him and his representation to figure that out.
So there was another report yesterday that he apparently told you, one of the teams drafted in the top five, do not pick me, otherwise I won't show up. Now, I don't know if that was Utah. I don't know if it was the Sixers. I don't know what it was. But could you imagine if this was here? I mean, we know he didn't want to be here, but I mean, it was pretty clear he didn't want to be a Sixer. Could you imagine the reaction in this city if this kid came here and then refused to show up?
Oh, no, they would have hated him.
It'd be a disaster.
No question about it. I'm curious now, Joe. I'm not as mad at him as everybody else is, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, you're a real Ace Bailey guy. You became one. You and Elliot.
No, because I, like, he obviously has an agenda.
Clearly.
He has something that he feels strongly about how this is going to play out or where he wants to be. I want to see what that is. I'm not ready to condemn him. Now, the way that he's went about it is unorthodox. No question about that. But we don't. I wonder how he feels. I wonder how this is going to end for him. Because the bottom line is this. He wants to go somewhere where he can be a star so he can get the rookie max, right? He wants to get that $200 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, now if you make Rookie of the Year, all pro teams, you have a higher scale of salary. Like, yes. Awards lead to more money.
Yes. So I want to see where he, number one, where he wants to go, because he seems like he's going to be a whole problem.
Yes.
Sounds like he got money in the bank, but he's chilling. And I want to see how the future, but this is the long game. This is not, you know, we're looking at it in the short term. He's obviously getting bad advice, or he's crazy like a fox.
He might be either, you know, whatever becomes of his career is his own thing. I just am so glad the Sixers avoided this. This was a train wreck waiting to happen.
But aren't you curious to see how this is going to play
out? Yeah, I'm watching from afar, but not here.
Well, but yeah, that part.
Yeah.
That part.
We're changing the culture here. You wanted another weenie.
I don't want the weenie. That just sounded bad. But you know what I mean.
What did you just do?
No. I would have rolled him until he told me no.
I don't want a weenie, but I'm want to see what's going to happen.
I figured out why.
Lather Vaseline on me.
You're not curious.
Of course,
to see,
I'm curious
to see how this going. Not here.
Yeah, not here. Because not I here. Want winners, and he's
but
a loser.
Sounds like you're still curious about the weenie.
I know, this guy.
I don't want the weenie.
It's a problem. You know, I figured out why you become an Ace Bailey guy.
I'm not an Ace Bailey guy.
You are, because you're kindred spirits. You said
it. What do you mean? I'm difficult?
Well, no, yeah, but a few minutes ago.
I am not difficult.
A few minutes ago, what did you say? He has an agenda. Who
I have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a difficult agenda.
Well, it depends.
I just want to be childish and eat gummies. That's it.
Yeah, that is your agenda.
And talk to the people.
You're doing a great job.
Exactly.
I mean, you're nailing
that's
that one.
I'm in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, you really are.
So, I mean, I wake up every morning and I enjoy immensely what I do.
So I know you're not buying in. I do believe the Sixers have shown us they're trying to change their culture. Yeah. And I think it's going to work.
I think they are, Joe, but I don't think that with the way that this team is hamstrung by the contracts that they have, that you're going to get what you want, because you have Joel Embiid is still here, and he still commands, even though he's probably not healthy, a certain amount of respect that even the young guys are going to have. You know, they're going to have to defer to him.
And listen,
that's all.
Rome wasn't built in a day. I'm trying to run the clock out on the Georges and Embiids, and I'm trying to turn this thing over to guys that have the right head on their shoulders. And I thought that pick last night, there was another winning player in college basketball, shows they're not going just the upside guy. They're not going just the ceiling guy. They're going for the right culture fits, which they haven't had here in a long time. 215-592-9495. All right, back to the phone lines. The Sixers' reaction to the Ace Bailey stuff is wild. I mean, it sounds like he's not going to show up in Utah. We'll see where that goes. I'm just glad he's not here. And, of course, the Phillies. I am really – Topper's starting to lose me because I think he's starting to lose that clubhouse. Ken in Cinnamon said, hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ken.
So, first of all, you don't feel bad. Once upon a time, 15 years ago, I realized when I got to work that I didn't have my keys with me, couldn't find them, only to find out that they were still in the front door of my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Outside, because I had to lock the deadbolt and left them dangling there all day. So fortunately, I lived in a place where I didn't have to worry about anybody doing it.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I'm lucky because my neighbors, you know, they had a group chat talking about you know, somebody left their keys. So.
Well, now I'll make you both feel better. And I was young. Like, I was like 20 when I did this. One time I went to the movies and I got out of the movies. I couldn't find my keys.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just in the car. I never turned the car off. The car was running in the parking lot of the movies for 2 hours. It was still there.
And nobody took it. You were blessed.
I was very
you
lucky.
Were blessed with
we,
that one.
We all have these moments, Ken. Unfortunately for Hugh, he couldn't rectify it until a caller helped him out here, which is good.
Yeah, no, it was a wrap. They've come and picked my truck up. It's going to get keys now. It's going to get keys. So, I mean, you know, but I appreciate it.
There's more space in life, you.
Good
neighbors, right? Good neighbors looking out for you, so that means...
Yeah, and I feel bad, though, Ken, because I don't even speak to my neighbors.
Well, you better start. That's got to change.
You speak to one of them.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Against your will.
Well, he speaks to me.
In your house, too, yeah, unfortunately. All right, go ahead, Ken.
So, Ace Daly in the most predictable thing in the history of professional sports in Philadelphia. So big surprise there. Look, first of all, on Rob Thompson, I've been out on Rob Thompson for 3 years. It's because of answers like you get from him after these games all the time. It's par for the course with Rob Thompson to just be like that. And there's a sense of urgency that has been lacking in Rob Thompson for 3 years. And, you know, I do think he's lost the dressing room. But even if he hasn't lost the dressing room, you're not going to win a World Series with this guy. It's just not going to happen. He's probably a good manager over 162 because he is so even keel. But when you've got a month sprint to a pennant hanging over your stadium at the end of the line, you need to have a different mindset of urgency that Rob Thompson has never displayed that he has. But the other thing that if I hear one more caller say that what we need to do is bring up Justin Crawford, did the last three games?
What are you going to do?
My head's going to explode. Did the last three games not show you what the offense looks like when you got a bunch of minor leaguers in the lineup? I mean, a team that cannot hit, and this team is fatally flawed in its construction. You've heard me say that numerous times. But the answer is not to put more minor leaguers who can't hit major league pitching into the lineup. So, anybody who's talking about bringing Justin Crawford up right now is either not actually watching him play or they don't know what they're talking about, because his 365 average or whatever it is the weakest 365 average you are ever going to find. It's a T-ball 365. It's
ground ball singles. I mean, what he is right now. Yeah, he doesn't lift the ball.
75 infield hits. And every now and then he'll run into one like he did the other night, you know. So bringing up another Johan Rojas, who's probably not as good defensively as Johan Rojas. The problem is that you already have Otto Kemp that you expect things out of that you're not going to get. You got Buddy Kennedy. Like, the lineup the other night was the closest thing you're going to get to the scheduled loss lineup, to quote Doc Rivers.
Yeah, the bottom half was the Iron Pigs. I mean, it was Kemp and it was Kennedy. It was Marchand. It was the Iron Pigs the other night.
And I know it's one of 162, so you kind of have to, you know, take it in stride. But as a manager of a major league team, you're not seriously trying to win that baseball game when you put that lineup on the field. And then you hand the ball to your starting pitcher and say, all right, just go out and give us 7 shutout innings. And it's still not enough.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, Ken, they could waste one of the great rotations they've ever had. I mean, they've got 4 guys. Then I know Luzardo had 2 bad ones, so it changes his ERA. But 4 guys who basically, for 95% of the season, have dominated the league. And I heard a stat yesterday during the game. I think it's 40 of the 81 games, they've gone at least 6 innings, 2 or fewer runs. I mean, you should win all those games.
And this wasn't a coincidence. The Astros clearly have a book on how to pitch to this group of Phillies hitters.
Yep.
And they stick to it. And, you know, when Kyle Schwarber is in one of these, and I don't have anything bad to say about Kyle Schwarber, but when Kyle Schwarber is in one of these funks like he's in right now, where he's even struggling to put the ball in play, everybody goes through slumps. It happens. Okay. But there is literally nobody else in this lineup that you have to worry about taking you out of the ballpark. Nobody. And when Alec Bohm comes up with the bases loaded and one out in a one-run game, do you have any faith that Alec Bohm is going to drive the baseball anywhere?
Nope, I do. No. That's the reality of who they are. Ken, what do you got for us for a snack we could bring to Broads' Puck It Up party tonight?
So this is you probably never had this before, but I got to tell you, if you try it, you'll be addicted. It's fried pepperoni. So it's sliced thin pepperoni, deep fried, and then you sprinkle some grated Parmesan cheese on it, and it's like it's Parmesan chips, basically. It is unbelievable. You will not be able to stop eating them. I can't tell you what's going to happen the next morning when you have to go into the restroom.
It might be a little rough.
I feel like you're going to take some precious years off of Hugh's life doing that.
But it sounds, I think it would be popular at the party. Dan, good call.
I might eat all that pepperoni. It's too spicy, man.
Too spicy?
I don't like it.
Excuse me.
I don't like that.
He mentioned the Schwarber thing with the home runs. You know, they have one player, one, that's on pace for more than 20 home runs. It's him who's ready at 24. They don't have a single other player at double-digit home runs. All right, one thing I want to address, because he's obviously very annoyed at the bring up Justin Crawford crowd. I wouldn't be upset if they brought him up. I also don't think he's a savior. I mean, like...
No, he's not.
He's not a savior kind of player. Also, they don't hit home runs. He literally has zero power. He's not going to help in that department. It's just, can he provide some sort of spark?
He's not meant to be a savior.
No.
It's meant to send a message.
And so DFA Kepler, bring him up?
Yes.
I would do it today.
Because this is like what I like to call prison rules. This is like when somebody tries to take your Jell-O. You know, this is like when somebody tries to take your Jell-O.
Yep.
You know, you got to go ahead and swing on that cat.
So Kepler tried to take the Jell-O from Topper?
He took the Jell-O.
I'm not big on sayings necessarily, but there are a few I live by. One of the sizes for people in prison.
So now you got it. You got to get the locker room.
Way to power right through that.
Yeah, I
tried to throw you off. Didn't work.
No, but you have to take your power back. You have to do something drastic. This is almost equivalent. Do you remember when Andy Reid was here and George Hageman left?
Yeah.
When he lost his starting job, he left.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy, he came back after he thought about it, and Andy made him push the sled and then cut him.
Yeah.
Same thing. Because I can tell you this. After Andy did that, everybody was like, well, damn.
Better listen to that guy.
I can't tell you what we said, but it was like, he ain't playing. He ain't playing. You have to do something drastic.
So I think with this, I feel like Topper's losing the clubhouse a little bit here, and we need to put it either fix this or we got some problems here. The GM, Dombrowski could have his back. Dombrowski signed Kepler, right? Dombrowski ultimately has to make the decision if they're going to move off of Kepler. He could take the L on this one. Like, hey, let's move on. Let's bring Crawford up. And then it removes a guy from the clubhouse.
I mean, it sends a message.
Yes, it clearly would.
It sends a message because, like I said, when I'm riding in and you told me this story, I was like, ooh.
It's a bad quote.
That's a bad look.
They told me I'd play every day.
Yeah.
I mean,
And to be honest, you started the season.
And to be fair, he's also played. I think he started 60 of 81 games. It's not like he's played 20. He's played most of the time.
You started the season, and you kind of stunk.
He stinks. I mean, I'd move off him today. Chris
in
Middletown.
I don't like to use stink, but he stinks. I was there.
He stinks.
And
I don't
like using that.
Chris Kepler stinks. What's up, Chris?
Happy Puck It Up Friday, man.
Yeah, we're pucking it up.
Puck it up.
Puck it up a lot around here.
Puck it up.
Go ahead, Chris.
Before we get to senile Douglas, let's talk about these Eagles here, or these Phillies, I'm sorry. So it's very clear that it's all Hugh's fault because it's Rojas. Rojas seems to be the guy that is the trigger. He's the one setting these guys off.
Yeah, they're like they're playing this guy over me. That's the reaction of that.
Yeah, somebody he did trigger. It was a trigger warning. Definitely
it was.
So now we're two for two with Rojas being the guy that's he's the fuse that's lighting off the TNT.
That's
so
crazy.
I mean it's obviously very clear. Topper's lost his team. They're done. I think the only thing that's going to be the final nail in the coffin is going to be when you get Bryce or now one of the elite players come out and say something and go against them. That's going to be the final nail. But it's lining up for that. And speaking of Bryce, does anybody know where Waldo is right now? Like, does he know we're playing baseball right now?
You're getting ready.
Well, he took, you know, I felt justified yesterday. Remember during leading off, we talked about Bryce taking all those swings, and I said it felt like a lot of swings in the cage. On the broadcast yesterday, Stocker said the same thing, because Chris, apparently he took 75 swings in the cage yesterday, and I'm like, that feels like a lot. Like, if we could take 75, let's get back to the games here.
Yeah, I only need about 10 or 15 for a baseball game, so I don't know. Bryce, we are playing baseball right now, and this isn't spring training. These games matter, so... and if you haven't noticed, Bryce, we can't seem to score any runs, so kind of need you here, guys.
Help!
So we need him to come back. Hugh, what? Bro, I can't even go away on vacation without you being lost. Like, what is going on? You are like the epitome of senile Douglas here. Like, you're going off the cliff. Like, I feel like we need to start getting you somebody to drive you and like walk you around.
Well, my daughter's driving me today.
He did have a driver today.
She's coming to pick me up
by necessity because Pop Pop over here misplaced his keys in the mailbox.
Yeah, I left him in the mailbox.
The community mailbox.
You remember when you played football? You know how like once you hit that wall comes quick and it's a cliff. Like in life, the same thing happens. Like you may want to like. Spend a weekend to get your affairs in order and stuff because while you still have your sanity left,
I'm going to the upper room. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we didn't say it's happening yet. And Chris, good phone call. Good to hear from you. We just.
It ain't too. I can't. I don't have a retort. I mean, I deserve that. Yeah, I hate. You know what the worst was? I knew this was coming as soon as I woke up and I couldn't find my keys and I had to call y'all because
the fact
you know,
had to tell us. Yeah.
And what? Who was it? You? Oh no! I was like that old fake ass. Oh no! I already know what that is, and I knew it was like Pop Pop Douglas. He's losing it. I just knew because you and Kyle in there laughing and giggling.
So we're in your head.
Of course.
215-592-9494. All right, we'll keep taking your phone calls after we talk to Scott Fransky coming up on what the Phillies should do with Max Kepler. Is this a Rob Thompson issue? And the Sixers, now that the draft is finished, all coming up. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.